Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening and even join in the conversation here tonight. A lot going on in the world here right now, and so we'll be talking about some of those things. We're hoping to be joined here a little later in the program with Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith. You can find that online at fortressoffaith.org. That's fortressoffaith.org. And he hosts a program that's heard in various parts of the country dealing with Islam, and not just dealing with what Islam is and some of the threats that it might present, but also on how to reach Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Tom Wallace points out, oftentimes the first victims of Islam are the Muslim people themselves. And so hopefully he'll be calling in. He is stuck at an airport, and so he was going to try for calling from the hotel here this evening, and we hope to get him on a little bit later on in the program. But we'll also be taking your calls tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. And we come on the air this evening, we're certainly mindful of the horrendous terrorist attack that took place down in Orlando, Florida today, earlier this morning, with the Islamic attack killing 50-some people and wounding numbers of others there. And Lord, we just pray that this could be a wake-up call to believers to pray for our country. And certainly we pray for the family and friends of the people who were killed down there. We know that it was a gay nightclub and people caught up in that sinful lifestyle. These are people who need the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that during this time you might help them to be mindful of the mortality of man, and that they might become open to hearing the gospel, open to hearing that there is hope, that they can have their sins forgiven, and that they can know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Help us as Christians to use this opportunity to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to people, and to point people back to you and your word during these times. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come on the program here this evening, I want to mention a couple things also as we get started here. Just a reminder that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and we have some of our past programs there, and pray for me. I do the upkeep and everything on and put together the whole website, and so I have to upload stuff. I was trying to do some work on it this past week, and improving our lines. You know, if you think of a garden hose, and if you put a lot of water in it, and the garden hose is a couple miles long, and all along the way, people are taking water out of the hose. By the time you get to the end, there's just a trickle. Well, that's where my internet connection has been. It's at the end of the line. It's just a trickle at best, and it's below what they recommend for what they want for service. And they're supposedly improving the lines, and I think my internet access has been out more times than it's been on this past week, and so it's been kind of a challenge doing some of the things with the website. So it's getting a little behind on some things, but we also have a Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, and you can find us there on Facebook, and you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook, try to link some various articles and things there on Facebook, different things from time to time, and some program notes. And so I encourage you to check us out, livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our page for our the church that I pastor, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, as well as more information about myself. And like I said, past programs you can listen to there. And you can even link to our Facebook page from livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, again, our phone number, you can call us toll-free here tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And as we're starting out the program here tonight, of course, a lot of people at church today were talking about this, and people on the radio are talking about this, and so obviously we're going to be talking about this. But hopefully, we can get at least a little bit of an understanding of some of the things that are going on. And I had somebody ask me today, why did they do this and why did they attack that particular club? And it is interesting because the shooter drove, I think it was 90 miles or something like that, to get to this place. He wasn't from Orlando. He drove a long ways to get there. And so this suggests that he had a plan. And one of the things that we need to remember is that we are in a spiritual battle. It's going on all around us. In 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible says in verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." And we need to understand our primary weapon in the spiritual battle around us is a spiritual weapon. And it's one of the things, of course, is prayer. And of course, our job is to hold forth the Word of God. We need to remember, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number, well, I'll start in verse number 10 here. It says this, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then it goes into the armor of God, and talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the only offensive part of this. The rest is defensive. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. But we've got a caller calling in right now. We've got Sam calling in from Virginia tonight. Sam, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, how you doing, Pastor Al? This is I'm from Virginia. But anyway, my friend called me this morning. He's not a Christian, but he told me about what happened. It happened in Virginia in a gay nightclub or something.
Right.
And I called a radio program. It was supposed to be a sports program, but they were talking about it.
Right.
And I told him that I was a Christian man, and I said that I know verses from the Quran, and I said, in reality, it's not a religion of peace. I mean, if you follow the Quran, it says to kill infidels, and I'm considered an infidel. And he didn't agree. He goes, "Oh, don't spread a broad brush." And I said, "Guy, that's just the fact of the matter."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "It does say kill infidels," and I said, "I know some Muslims, and they seem like decent people. I mean, because they know they can't kill people, and they know they want to have a good family life. So they can't do that, but if they actually follow the teachings, I'm glad a lot of Muslims don't,
you know,
because it'd be awful in America. But I have to admit, I know Donald Trump has said some stupid things, but he was right. They need to do background checks on some of these people. And, and the fact is, I know they're going to use this as the thing about taking our guns from us.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, You know, the thing about it is I meet a lot of people that say they're Christians, and I was debating with a guy because there's a Church of Christ that says that all white people are racist, and I heard that the Church of Christ also believes in gay marriage or something. I said, "That's a fake church." And he goes, "How dare you say it's a fake church?" And I said, "Obama is not a real Christian." And I said, "I don't know if George Bush Jr. was a real Christian, because some of the things he said," he goes, how dare you judge? Obama's a real good man. And you know, really, you can't talk to people like that because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that the God of the Bible is a holy God, and he doesn't accept those kind of demonic.
Yeah, and let me touch on a couple things that you brought up there, because you brought up some great points there, and you're talking about in the Quran, because I've read the Quran. In fact, there's one sitting right here next to me, and we've got a gentleman who's going to be calling in here, hopefully here, who is very familiar with the Quran, and so we'll be talking about that. But what a lot of people don't realize, the definition of an infidel in the Quran is not somebody who rejects God. It's somebody who rejects Islam. It's somebody who believes that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you believe that Jesus is God, the Quran labels you an infidel. And when they do these things, they don't believe that they don't believe in killing innocents, unless, of course, it would further the cause of Islam in some way, and then they would be a martyr to the cause. But when they go into an area and they kill what we in the West call, and coming from a somewhat Christian background, might call innocent women and children who are not actively involved in the military or something like that. If you are not a Muslim, you're not an innocent. You live in the house of war, not in the house of Islam. And they divide the world into the house of Islam and the house of war. And if you're not in the house of war, you're not an innocent. You're fair game. Just like back in 2001 on September 11, see, people say, oh, how could Islam condone the killing of all those innocents? They didn't consider them innocents. They were infidels.
Right.
And so it was perfectly justified. The Quran over and over talks about killing the infidels, and there's verse after verse. There's at least 109 verses in the Quran that call for Muslims to war against non-believers or what they call infidels, and some of them are more graphic than others. But let me also share something else with you. We're in the month of Ramadan, the Islamic festival of Ramadan, and we're about day 7 or 8. I'm not sure which it is, depending on when it started. I'm not sure exactly. It's either day seven or eight, not counting the 53 or something like that, 51, I guess it is, people who were killed in Orlando that we know of so far. There's also been 472 other people killed in the name of Islam in the last, just since Ramadan began. At least 60 attacks, not counting this one. There were four people slaughtered in Tel Aviv just yesterday. And then, of course, there was the news story where they stopped a car headed for the Gay Pride parade in Los Angeles today, where the guy was armed to the teeth. He was gonna do there at that parade what this guy did in that club in Orlando. And so
that's scary.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. It's a spiritual battle that we're involved in, and this is the symptom of it. Think of it this way: if somebody has a cancer, okay, it may express itself as aches in their bones, or maybe a pain in the head, or a pain in the abdomen, or something like that. And you take aspirin, and it might go away for a little bit. But all you're doing is treating the symptom. You have to cure the cancer. You have to get rid of the cancer. And, you know, Donald Trump, to his credit, you mentioned him, he identifies the cancer. And he pointed out, I guess, today, and listeners to our program know that I've not been a Donald Trump fan, but either Trump, the Republican or the Democrat's going to win in November. So I don't want Hillary to win, so I'll support him. But he tweeted out.
I have to.
I was just going to say, he tweeted out today criticizing both Hillary and President Obama for refusing to say radical Islam, because they will not say it. So
that's amazing. And the thing about it is Obama, I mean, I agree. I don't know if you heard of the guy. I'm sure you have. He's got a program called What's Right and What's Left.
Oh, okay, Ernie Sanders. Pastor Ernie Sanders.
But he says that what Obama's doing is not by accident.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
And he's bringing in Muslims by the boatload.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate to say it, Hillary, if she became president, she would bring them in by the boatloads. And you know, it's going to, it's gonna be lots of bloodshed. I hate to say.
Oh, that's what they're setting us up for, and you're absolutely right, Sam. I hope you'll call me back again, but my guest is calling in now, and I hope you'll stay tuned because we're gonna pick up our guest Tom Wallace here, and I want to thank Sam for that good call here tonight, and we've got Tom Wallace calling in. Tom, welcome back to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hey, Brother Al, always good to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity, and boy, there's a lot going on, isn't there, today?
You know, I feel like I've heard some people say that, you know, I like talking to you, but I hate that the only time I call you to come on the program is when there's something bad going on. I think the last time I called you was when they had the Paris attacks. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
And we've had you on before that, even without bad things going on. Tom Wallace, tell us a little bit real quick about yourself and your ministry for our listeners who don't know who you are, and then we can jump into a discussion about what's happening today.
Okay, be glad to. Well, I spent 29 years of my life overseas, a large part of that in Europe, and was involved in church planting as in missionary work there. And spent over a dozen years in a part in the United Kingdom, which is now the headquarters of all the Sharia law courts. So we were in a very strong Muslim community. And with that, began to, learn how to deal with Muslims and, you know, engage them with the gospel and studying these issues of Islam. Well, God has brought me home now here to the United States, and I travel the country and have a national radio broadcast. Educating people about the issues of Islam, exposing it. Muhammad is a false prophet, and Islam is a false religion. But we're also involved in bringing Muslims to Christ. You know, so we oppose Islam, but we want to see Muslims get saved. You got to separate the two. Islam's one thing; that's the ideology. The Muslim is someone who's blinded and misguided, and they do what they do because of Islam, but they're victims, actually, of it. And so, we want to see Muslims saved, but we also want to oppose a false teaching that is taking root here.
You're absolutely right, and we're going to get into this incident down in Florida right now. But according to to President Obama, of course, we just don't know what could have motivated him. But we do know from everybody just about except for one particular imam in Orlando who said that it's their duty to kill homosexuals. But, they've all assured us that Islam had nothing whatsoever to do with this. I found a statement by an ACLU staff attorney, Chase Strangio, I believe is his name, Strangio, and he said, Christian conservatives, did you know that we're responsible for this? Had you heard this? Christian conservatives are responsible for the mass shooting at a gay bar in Orlando because they created this anti-queer climate. You know, he continues, you know what is gross, your thoughts and prayers and Islamophobia after you created this anti-queer climate. He is saying that the Christian right is responsible for the shooting. We made such a hate-filled anti-LGBT climate in this country that this radical Muslim was overcome, that he had to follow the lead of the Christian right and go shoot this place up. But we know religion had nothing to do with it, and certainly not Islam. And besides that, last I heard is he was taking medication because he's schizophrenic, or not schizophrenic. What was it? Bipolar. So how about that? So, but we don't know what caused it.
Yeah.
it's amazing.
Well, you know, I mean, it's you know, we live, Al, in a society of lies, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, we didn't get here by a creator, just poof, bang, evolution, it just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a baby in there, that's just tissue. Don't believe that's a baby, we're not murdering anything here. That's not a man you're looking at, that's really a woman. There's so many lies that they want us to believe, and the other lie is that's not a religion of the sword. That's not a religion of murder. It's truly a religion of peace. And, you know, these lies have been told to us for far too long. And the problem is that the common sense person, and God put within us, you know, the ability to sense the truth in these things. It doesn't fit our conscience, does it? But, they keep selling it. And, and they have to. They have to sell this because to address and to be honest, to address it properly, means that that every Muslim then, in a sense, this religion of Islam is a threat to our nation, a threat to our security and our ways, and they don't quite know how, well, what do we do with that? You know, so they don't know what to do with that. So we've got to look at it from another way. And another thing too, Al, is that not every Muslim is practicing Islam. Like every Christian that calls themselves Christian, they don't even know what Christianity is all about themselves. They're not, you know, they're no more Christian than al-Baghdadi is a Christian.
Yeah, I was going to interject there. I would say that you could make another analogy and say it's probably the same percentage of Muslims have read the entire Quran as the same percentage of Christians have read the entire Bible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And also, too, I find a lot of Christians out there who are experts of Islam, like, you know, well, I've read the Quran, you know, and that's hardly true. But anyhow, yeah, it's just the problem is that Islam does not permit homosexuality. It's clear the penalty for the act when two consenting adults are involved in sodomy, that they are to be killed. Now, the only question really is how do you kill them? Because some passages require that they're to be thrown off a cliff, and other passages require that they're to be stoned. And so there's debate. You know, the debate is how do you kill a homosexual? And some do both just to cover themselves, you know. Now, ISIS has gone further. They've even burned to death, you know, some. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they'll throw them off a building or something like that and then, and then stone them.
And, you know, you can see right away where Islam's approach to homosexuals and dealing with homosexuals is so much kinder and gentler than the right-wing Christian approach of praying for their soul and trying to show them from the Bible their sin and urging them to trust Christ as their Savior. You know, it's so much kinder and gentler to throw them off a building and stone them or burn them to death, isn't it?
Well, you know what? Alan,
I know you're being really sarcastic
there, and I appreciate your sarcasm there. But let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. There's an imam there in Florida. Actually, he's not from Florida, but a mosque invited this imam in, and he was teaching how they. And this is back in April.
Mm-hmm. And this is in Orlando, isn't it?
Should be killed. I'm sorry.
Wasn't this in Orlando?
It was. Yes, this was in Orlando. And saying, you know, we shouldn't apologize for this. This is simply what Allah requires and demands. And you know what? If you believe that to be God's command, then you shouldn't apologize. Because, these Muslims are just simply carrying out the commandment of their God and the teachings of their prophet Muhammad. But then he went on to say this, and I don't see this. I don't know where this is coming from. I can give a supposition, I think, what he's meaning, but he went on to say this, that we're really doing them a favor by killing them.
Mm.
You know, we're really helping them out if we kill them.
Well, I can see that's kinder and gentler than the Christian approach.
Oh, of course it is, yes. I mean, you know, who would, you know, I mean, what would you want, if you're a gay person, what would you want as your community? An Islamic community? And how they deal with it with homosexuals or a Christian community, although they may oppose you verbally, with Islam, I mean, let's look at it there. Let's look at the scenario here. And here's the problem, Al, is that the Islamic community is playing the civil rights card, but so are the LGBT groups, the liberals. They're all playing that civil rights card. You know, they're taking the pages out of the civil rights movement of the 60s, and they're saying, oh, we're the minorities, we're being mistreated, and this, that, and the other. And So both of these groups are playing it, and they don't mind them doing it, because who are they really attacking? They're attacking the Christian values.
Absolutely.
Here in this country.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, the liberals and the LGBT group, they don't mind the Muslims getting involved in that, because they actually believe that that is the actual group that is capable of destroying the Christian message in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got a history of overcoming Christianity in nations in the past, and so they think that they are the real formidable force to take down Christianity. So they don't mind buddying up with them,
right?
But they don't even realize. Yeah, let's play this scenario out. Let's say they're successful, and the Christian voice, the Christian way, is destroyed and demolished, and then you get Islam coming in the void. Are they really going to be happier to have that? Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom Wallace, we're coming up on the break here, and will you be able to stick with us here?
Sure, I can hang with you for a little while.
Okay, great. We're going to come up on a break here in a little bit. And I want to encourage people to stay tuned. We're talking with Tom Wallace tonight about the Orlando shootings and some other things happening with Islam. And in the next half hour, we're going to be talking a little bit more about some of these things that are happening. But not stay with that alone, but we want to get into what can we as Christians do to reach Muslims and to make a difference in the world. So stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And we also have Tom Wallace, Fortress of Faith, not only on the internet, but also on the radio. And he'll be joining us again here in just a few moments. Just want to remind you again, you can check us out at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to a variety of things there about me, about our church, listen to past programs, and also our Facebook page at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And so you can find more stuff there. And just a reminder, too, if you're in the Cleveland area, especially if you're coming in for the convention time, the Republican convention, check out East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They're located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, Ohio, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself or adding a great pizza recipe, I should say, to your own restaurant that you might have already, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started with your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, we're going to get back into our program. We've been talking about Islam. We've been talking about the terror attack in Orlando, Florida, early this morning, and other things dealing with Islam and also dealing with the LGBT community. One ACLU lawyer has already blamed the right-wing Christians for inciting a violence and hatred-filled atmosphere towards the LGBT community that caused this Muslim to go in and shoot this place up. They had to find a way to blame Christians, and also calls for gun control and everything like that. If it hadn't been a gun, he could have drove a car through the building or any number of things. They would have found a way. But Tom Wallace, welcome back to the program here this evening, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Brother Al. Always a joy to be with you.
And again, give your name, give your website, name of your program as well, where people can listen to that at.
Sure, yeah, we are Fortress of Faith. You can find us online at fortressoffaith.com. And we have a host of archives of radio programs. We deal with the Christian apologetics and polemics dealing with Islam. We've probably written over 1,500 articles dealing with Islam, and most of that is online, still available there. And so fortressoffaith.com.
And some of your programs are available on there as well, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, you can listen to the archives. Also, too, if you are savvy with your cell phone, with your iPhone, Android phone, you know, we are subscribed to iTunes. So if you subscribe to iTunes, you can get the podcast of our daily program,
Oh, okay.
Which is a 15-minute program. And that just sits in your inbox, so to speak, so you don't have to catch it when we air. You can listen to it on your time.
Oh, great. And actually, while I'm thinking about it, you've got a book that just came out too, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, Refuting Islam. And that's available at our website, fortressoffaith.com, and you'll see that there. And basically, it's a reference book. There's over 200 different references, that quotable things. If you want the best way to disarm something, to refute it, is to use their own words against them.
Right.
So we quote the Prophet, quote the Sharia. We quote a lot of the Sharia law because that quotes the Quran, quotes the Prophet, but it defines it. It explains it. The law does. And no one will come back at you saying you're taking those verses out of context because you're quoting the top Islamic scholars that way.
Right. Well, that's great. And so I hope people will check out your website and maybe pick up that book as well. But we've been talking about the situation with the shooting in Orlando, and it's been, by people who are rightly identifying it, the worst terrorist attack on American soil since September 11, 2001. Certainly not the worst terrorist attack in the world since that time, but certainly the worst here in our country, and it's only one of many. We see what's happening, and we see these things happening every day repeatedly around the world, and it's easy for people, even Christians, to become overwhelmed by what's happening. And we've talked a bit about the problem there, and it's very real, but in your opinion, what's the best thing that a Christian could be doing maybe about now in regards to this situation?
Well, that's not really an easy question to kind of answer there. But, you know, I think we got to realize that the homosexual community that's here in America, we've got to do something to address this as Christians. Do mm-hmm. we just simply shun them? Or do we want to bring them the gospel and bring them truth? And there is truth. There is help there for these people to be free from the bondage that they are caught in this lewd, sinful activity. And it's and also, too, I think Christians need to understand, sexual sin of homosexuality is still just as equally in God's book is just as guilty as sexual sin of adultery between a man and a woman.
That's right.
Sexual sin.
People don't like to think of that way, but that's absolutely correct.
It's still sexual sin in God's book, and these people, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Johnny Nixon. If I can kind of put in a plug for him, he's a friend of mine.
Yes. In fact. That's with the biblical eunuchs, correct?
Yes, yeah. Book, his title will throw you off a little bit as a Christian.
Born That Way.
Titled that way to capture the mindset of a gay person. Born
yes.
That Way After All.
Yeah, and in fact, we've actually talked with somebody else about that book on our program in the past, and one day here in the hopefully not too distant future, we're going to have him and somebody else more local here who's involved with that ministry, talking about that on our Friday afternoon program in actually combination with another program so we can spend an hour on that. But when we do that, that will be available on our website. But go ahead. That's an excellent resource.
Well, yeah, I just talked to Johnny this afternoon after, you know, the shooting and, you know, learned what had happened. After church, I called him. And because I'm sure, you know, he had would have some interesting insight in this. And, you know, the gay community out there, many of these people who are in there don't like to be there. They don't like the activity. And some of these people who are Christians, you know, born-again Christians who've been raised in a Christian church, Christian home, and, you know, they're confused. And they've never grown to fancy someone of the opposite sex. And the reason for that is because Matthew 19, the Bible says that there are three types of eunuchs. There are those who
right.
are made eunuchs by God, there are those who are made eunuchs by men, and there are those who choose or made themselves eunuchs because of their choice to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
So they've chosen celibacy. But what about that one that's made a eunuch by God?
Right.
That God has, you know, designed them in a way not to have attractions of persons of the opposite sex. And it doesn't mean that they have attraction to people of their own sex in a sexual manner.
Correct.
But they grow up thinking, you know, well, I've never really been attracted to girls. And so someone comes along and says, well, then you must be gay.
Yeah, because in our mindset, it's
enjoyed the company of boys.
Yeah.
You know, is there ever been a time that you haven't enjoyed the company of boys? Well, hey, yeah, I like hanging with the boys. Because, you know, mm-hmm. any boy would.
Yeah.
But, so then they're told that they must be gay, and then but they don't realize that, no, God designed them that they are to be single so that they can spend their life serving God, and then we call that a natural-born eunuch.
Right.
And yeah. And his ministry, his book, once people understand that over 2,000 homosexuals or people who got into homosexual activity have been rescued from it because they realize, hey, I'm not gay after all.
Right.
There is a reason. It is real that I'm not attracted to women. But I'm not really attracted to men either that way.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, we have this false dichotomy that you're either attracted to the opposite sex or the same sex and no in between. And these
yeah.
people are not physically or sexually attracted to either sex. And but by default, since they're not attracted physically or sexually to the opposite sex, they get convinced that they must be attracted to the same sex. And then they get pulled into the movement and a lot of learned behavior and stuff that they get involved in. And you're absolutely right. I mean, that book can't be advertised enough.
Yeah. I tell you, it's an amazing ministry seeing people rescued from that. And I think we got to address that here in America and in our Christian churches that, I tell Johnny, Johnny, you're like me in a way. You minister to a group of people that Christians love to hate, as I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Muslims and gays. That's why we get along so well, Johnny and I, because, we both minister in areas that where, let's be honest, most of the Christians in our country love to hate either gays or Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to realize God called us to take the gospel to every creature, not just
right.
the ones we like, not just the ones that we think are, pleasing and palatable. We're also even told to love our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult. I understand that. And you sometimes have to change your thinking. But I think it's the flesh that
right.
gets a hold of us sometimes, Brother Al, and we allow our flesh to rule us rather than the Spirit.
Yeah, and let me give you a passage here. It goes right along with what you're saying, and this applies to both Muslims and the homosexuals, as well as a host of others. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy here. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, there's a great passage here. It starts in verse number 24, runs through the end. There's three verses. It's all one sentence. And it says this. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." Let me pause there for a minute. You'll hear people on there, "Well, I think we should shoot all of the homosexuals. I think we should do this. We should do that." It says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And that applies perfectly to both of those groups of people, doesn't it?
It does. Muslims, let me address Muslims for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They very few people feel comfortable around them, especially, Christians. Brother Al, I get this call so many times from my listeners. And it's almost like verbatim. It's almost funny. They say, Brother Wallace, I've been listening to you now on the radio for a couple months, and I got to be honest with you. Before I started listening to you, I wanted Muslims dead. I wanted them killed. I didn't want them in my country, much less my county. And now you've helped me to see some things. You've helped me understand that the problem is really with Islam,
mm-hmm.
and not with the Muslim. The Muslim's the victim as well as we are victims of Islam. And Islam's the ideology. That's the problem. I get it now. I see it. And can you believe it, Brother Wallace? I'm now praying for Muslims to get saved.
Yes.
And I love it. I rejoice when I hear calls and get emails like that. The fact is that most Christians out there, they really got a burning in their heart. And I understand it. I really do. I mean, we were attacked by Islam, or rather mm-hmm. by Muslims, but because of Islam, they're our enemy and all this stuff, and we're afraid. And with the gay community, we were afraid because of AIDS and the disease and all that stuff. And so there's been a lot of fear out there, and when you don't understand something, you're afraid of it, and you want to push it away, But there's a better approach, and we got to realize these people are souls too,
mm-hmm.
misguided, and they need the truth.
And they're taken captive by the devil.
Free.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lady at church tonight ask me. She said, "Pastor, what would you do if a homosexual came into the church service?" And I said, "Well, actually, we've had them in our church services before." And it was before this lady had been going to the church. I said, in fact, we had them more than once. And we had one guy who I hope and pray that he's saved and he's with the Lord now, because he's since passed away. But he came off and on for a period of a couple of years. And I like what my wife said. She said, well, we treat him like any other person caught up in sin. And we've also had other people from other backgrounds in our church caught up in other sinful behaviors. And in God's eyes, they're all people, like the passage I read, who have been taken captive by the devil. And who's got the means of setting them free? It's Jesus Christ. And who's got the message of salvation? It's born-again Christians, isn't it? So it's our responsibility to carry this message to all the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, to have compassion on people is, I think, something that we have to work at. I don't think it becomes quite natural, but that's where God comes in. That's where, you know, God changes us. And, you know, part of our, I mean, when we get saved right away. Our redemption is secure, but, you know, there's the being made into the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. That takes some time.
Yes, it's not always easy.
And to have that compassion, you know, I strive for the mark, you know, that mark is that image of Christ. And it's something that we, you know, we press forward for that. That's the prize. That's what we want, is the image of Christ and his, you know, for him to be seen in us, in our behavior. And that takes some time. That takes some growing and maturing. And, you know, that's when you are more mature in Christ, then God gives us that ability to overcome the flesh that's in us, the fear, the hate, and all that stuff that comes with that.
Absolutely. Hey, Tom Wallace, and I'm speaking with Tom Wallace here, Fortress of Faith. You can find him online, fortressoffaith.com, and you can also listen to podcasts of his radio program, Fortress of Faith. I'm going to give out our phone numbers here, too, since we've been talking about this, and maybe we have some callers that would like to have some questions for you about this as well, and we'll talk about some other things as well here, and I think we got about another a little under 10 minutes left in the program, but our toll-free number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about what's happening here with this Islamic situation, or even some of the things we were talking about the homosexual situation in our country. And while we've got Tom Wallace on the program, if you'd like to give us a call, 888-677-9673, you can give us a call. We'll get you on here this evening. And Tom, we're talking about some of these things. You're talking about the effort to shut up and shut down the Christians. The left and a lot of these groups don't like us being on the air talking about what we're talking here tonight. We can see where they'll use these as opportunities to try and take away our freedoms. We've got Tom in Akron calling in here, Akron, Ohio, tonight. And Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hello, Pastor. Hello, Mr. Wallace.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing? Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I agree. You know, I think we Christians, a lot of times, we're only products of our environment. You know, I grew up in the 60s, but I grew up in a country setting. Al knows that.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like it's we're only a product of our environment, what we grow up in. And sometimes it's hard to reach out. I mean, you look at we got black Christians in America, but, you know, predominantly black people go to the black churches and white people go to white churches. And it's like, you know, we're isolated. We're all isolated. And I think a lot of us don't know how to understand how to outreach these people, you know, in all these complexities that are confronting us in our culture. Would you agree? I mean, how do we be educated on this? You know, I don't know. It's like, how do you deal with, you know, we're running into people that are atheists that hate us. We're running into Muslims that oppose us. We're running into gay community that wants nothing to do with us. And so how do you reach out? I'm not trained in all this. I have the Word of God, and I believe, you know, the Lord, and I try to witness in the marketplace whenever I'm out. And
let me interject in here a little bit. We're running short on time, so let's give Tom a chance to respond to that, if you would.
Yes.
Well, I think we got another caller coming in too.
You know, what you're talking about is somewhat of the problem of the human condition. Some of us are, you know, extrovert, some are introvert. But whether, regardless of what you are, I think it's how you see people, how you see humanity. If you see them as souls, as people that are bound for an eternal destination, and pray in the morning and in your quiet time with the Lord and say, God, give me a burden for these people. And I think if you have a burden for them, then it compels your heart to, you know, to have compassion on them, to develop relationships, to talk with them, to, you know, and sometimes you have to develop some skills and some habits, and the more you do it, the better you become about it. But I think the biggest thing is having a heart of compassion for one another.
Right.
And, you know, the human condition is birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
You know, we can understand that.
Absolutely.
But we got to break through that.
Yeah. And let's get another caller here. We've got Constance, I think, in Toronto calling in tonight.
Yes.
Hi. Did I get your name right there?
Yes, thank you for your guest. I think that's real. I just had a conversation with a Muslim woman on the bus coming from church. A whole family of kids and their mother was there. It's just a beautiful family and a lovely conversation with them. It wasn't anything about, you know, it wasn't anything evangelistic or anything like that. But I think that most Christians, when you have a relationship with Christ, he does put compassion in your heart. So I don't like the statement Christians love to hate. I'm not comfortable with that because I know real, true, God-fearing people love people, and God will put love in your heart for them. And I think it's more people who are not so, some of them even not crazy about Christians themselves. They go to church, but they're not crazy about other Christians themselves. Those are the ones who might have a bigger problem. But people who really know the Lord and are having a relationship intimate with Christ. Love Muslims. So,
yeah. Hey, your phone is starting to break up on us there a little bit. Your phone's breaking up on us a little bit. So I want to get one last caller in here. But Tom, wouldn't you agree? She hit it on the head there. We need to love people and have the love of Jesus for people. God loved us when we were filthy, rotten sinners. We got just a minute or so left. We've got Darlene in Florida calling tonight. Darlene, real quick.
Yes, I got a booklet from a well-known minister, and he said that Muhammad, their god, was a pedophile, and I don't see why we should honor their god, the pedophile.
Tom, go ahead and respond.
Well, it's true that Prophet Muhammad did marry Aisha when she was 6 years of age and consummated when she was nine, and so, yes, he was a pedophile. Definitely. I mean, this is one of the proofs that this is not a religion of God and that Muhammad was not a prophet of God. And that activity is practiced by other Muslims, because if you're a good Muslim, you're going to do what the prophet did.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's a very vile lifestyle that goes on with Islam.
I think it's interesting that in the beginning, Muhammad even thought that it was an evil spirit that was giving him the revelations.
Well, yes, the jinn, the spirit,
the jinn,
who they later claimed to be was the angel Gabriel. Definitely, Muhammad thought it was a demon. And in the record, in the Islamic record, he went to commit suicide. Never shall the Quraysh say this of me. I shall go to the top of the mountain and cast myself off and find rest. He thought it was demon-possessed. It was his wife, Khadija, that persuaded him that, no, it's not a demon, it's the angel Gabriel. And so the great prophet Muhammad couldn't figure it out himself.
Yeah.
He had to have his wife tell him.
Yeah. Hey, we're running out of time here. We've been talking with Tom Wallace here and with FortressOfFaith.com. Encourage you to check him out. Tom, I want to thank you for being on the program with us tonight. And God bless you and your ministry. We'll get you back on again sometime. And we're out of time here tonight. I want to thank our listeners, thank our callers, and join us again next time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.